Well, it is a delight to be back, and sorry that I wasn't able to be here last year, but as the pastor said, COVID kept my wife and I home, and we made it through that, no problem, so we thank the Lord for that. Appreciate the opportunity to share. Just ask that you continue to pray for my wife. She's had a rough go of it this past 6 months or so, but they've finally got her on the right path, and she's able to get up, get around a little bit, do a few things. So just encourage you to be praying for her. I during those times, I've been able to spend a little bit of time with my grandkids. I love my grandkids. They're great. My daughter called me about a month ago or so when they were still in school and said, "Jim, would you be willing to pick up Addie? Addie's 12. And I said, "No, I can't pick her up at school. They don't let me in the schools." And she said, "No, all you got to do is drive up, call them, they'll bring her out." I said, "Okay, I can do that." So I pull up there and I call, and sure enough, teacher's bringing out Addie. And she comes over to me and she says, "Are you Addie's granddad?" I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Can I see your driver's license?" I said, "Well, my driver's license is not going to tell you I'm her granddad." I said, "Never mind. Here it is." I showed it to her. And she looks at Addie and she says, "Addie, is this your granddad?" She goes, "I've never seen this man before in my life." And I told the lady, I said, "Here, just chain me up, take me away. I'd rather go than spend the day with her." And anyway, she says, "No, he's the best bobo that anybody could ever have." She gets in the car, and I said, she says, "So how'd your day go, Bobo?" I said, "I'm not talking to you." She said, "Well, Bobo, you said that it's good to be funny." I said, "Yes, it is good to be funny, but there's times that you need to be funny and times you don't." But anyway, I tell you, I hate my grandkids, but ministry-wise, God is good. Our ministries in Ivory Coast have just flourished. Denise and I are still involved in the orphan ministries. I still oversee the orphan ministries, and I do have a secretary up in Rochester, New York, that keeps up with all the paperwork, all the computer work, the details with the children. We get them out to the donors. So if you're supporting children, twice a year we ask that they send in updates, and we're constantly trying to raise for these children. As we catch up on the list, there's more that are added to the list. So the good news is we're getting more and more of them supported. The bad news is the list just keeps growing longer and longer. And so encourage you to continue to be praying for that ministry. But in the past 2 or 3 years, Denise and I have focused a lot of our attention also on Ivory Coast. I was born and raised in Ivory Coast, have spent over 30 years there. Denise and I, our ministries have continued to grow. Even when the Civil War moved us out of Ivory Coast, we came back to the States and have been working in 5 West African countries since then. But this past 2 years, we've refocused back on Ivory Coast because the need is so great there. And in the last 2 years, even during COVID, we're seeing God work. We're seeing the church grow. In trying times, in difficult situations. In the last 2 years, we've started 7 new churches there in Ivory Coast. And out of those 7 new churches, our smallest membership is 136. And so we're seeing these churches just explode. And we're seeing God work. Well, the good news is the ministry is exploding. The bad news is you got to keep up with it financially as far as building church buildings, buying land for these buildings. And so these things take time. And just encourage you to be praying with us along those lines. Our Bible school continues to grow. It's been in existence now. This is the 22nd year that we've had our Bible school. It's located out of the capital city. And this year we just graduated our 475th pastor. through that Bible school in the last 20 years. And out of those 475 pastors, they have started 211 churches now, not only in Ivory Coast, but throughout West Africa. And so we're seeing that ministry bear fruit and push forth. They said that this fall, the new class will be running probably about 17 or 18 in that graduating class. So we'll see more of them graduating as we move along. God is also enabling us in other areas of ministry, digging wells. We just completed our first well, and we're using the well digging ministry. It's a ministry because we deal with areas in Ivory Coast where there is such drought, and it's very difficult to get water. And so through these wells that we've begun to dig, we're able to use them as a ministry, because people, men, women, and children come, and they'll line up for hours. They'll stand in line waiting for their opportunity to fill up their basins and their buckets. And what do they do while they're standing there for those hours? Nothing. They wait their turn. And it's an opportunity. Our church people are using that as an opportunity to preach the gospel while they're standing there, hand out tracts. They bring in music teams and sing songs to them, and we're able to use it as an opportunity to win others to Christ. And it's not just Christians that are coming to these wells. It's a lot of the town people and the village people that come in, and so the opportunity is there. Now, the expense of wells, we're looking at about $8,500 to drill a well, but God is helping us to provide for that. And so ministry-wise, we're excited about what the Lord is doing, and just encourage you to be praying for us. There is a display back there. There's a trifold. You can pick up a trifold. Remember to keep the Arnolds in prayer. There's a jar there. We're trying to raise for another motorcycle. We just purchased one. We have one more pastor that needs a motorcycle. We just purchased the last one in May, and they use it for everything. Now, in our country, motorcycles, you know, are usually used for one rider, two riders. Well, out there, they'll put four or five on. And, I have pictures, and the pastor said, listen, just in this last month since I've had my motorcycle, he says our children's ministries have jumped from 20 children to 45, because he says on Sundays I'm able to go to the surrounding villages and pick up four children at a time and bring them to church. So, you know, how out there the sky's the limit. Even on vehicles, you can pack that thing up as high as you want, and so you know that's the way they do it in Africa, and however we can get those kids to church, they'll do that. So if you can help with that, there is a jar there. $1,500 will help cover the expense of that motorcycle, and I'm telling you, it is used in life-changing ways. So encourage you to thinking and praying about that, however you can help. It is a great opportunity to be here this morning. Pastor and I went out and did a little bit of golf. He says, so you've been practicing up. I said, yeah. I says, I haven't played once since I played with you 3 years ago. And he says, well, then after the golf, he says, boy, you played a lot better this time. He says, maybe don't play for the next 3 years and you. But anyway, this morning I want to just take a little bit of your time. I'll get you out of here by 2 o'clock, I promise you. But I want to take a little bit of time and talk on the subject of missions. Missions, does missions really matter? Does missions matter? You know, the Bible talks about different things throughout Scripture, that preaching matters. How wonderful are the feet of them that take the word forth. It talks about the importance of church. and how church matters. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. One of the things that I've noticed as I travel around in churches today is our churches in a lot of places are depleted. And in talking to pastors and that, they said, you know, when COVID hit, it changed a lot of things. People are used to now just doing church at home. And, you know, I can remember those first few weeks when our church shut down there in Georgia for 2 weeks because of COVID. And then they opened it up. And I can remember sitting there in for 2 weeks because all our meetings were canceled. Everything was canceled for pretty much the year. I mean, a lot of churches didn't open back up till later. And I was looking at my wife and I was going, there's just something wrong about this. I said, this is not church to me. I said, I miss the fellowship with one another. I miss getting together. And I said, you know, that's why Scripture talks about don't forsake the gathering of ourselves together, the getting together. It's all part of that. But and it talks about giving. Giving matters. You bring your tithes into the storehouse. And how important those are. And my question to you this morning is, does missions matter? And in case anyone is wondering, well, when I use the word missions, what is I'm talking about? I'm talking about you and me taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to every people, to every tribe, to every nation. And through Scripture, in the New Testament, we see it's commanded. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It doesn't say go if you feel like it. It doesn't say go when you want to. It says go. We had a missions conference, and we had a fellow come in, and his name was Nard. Nard was a Filipino. He said, I'm a savage from the island of the Philippines. He said, I grew up in a little village. And he said, "I one day I was walking through my village, and I ran into a white man. He said, I'd never seen a white man before in my life. He said, we didn't know what we should do with him. If we should eat them, or what we should do with them. He says, you know, white men taste like chicken. I asked him after the meeting, I said, well, what does Filipino taste like? He says, oh, you don't want any of that. That's bad stuff. And anyway, he said, this man was Cameron Townsend, the founder of Wycliffe Bible Translators. And he says, through the ministry of him coming out to our remote village, he said, God got a hold of my heart, and he became their first jungle aviation pilot, flew for them for 40 years. And he said, you know, in those 40 years of flying, he says, the one flight I will never forget, he said, was when I was able to fly 500 Bibles into our own heart language back to our village. He said, I'll never forget. I put that little plane down in there, banked that thing around, got out, started unloading these boxes, and he says, the first one out to the plane was my sister. And she came out, and she says, what are you unloading? And she started helping me unload. And he said, I took one of the boxes, I opened it up, and he said, I pulled out one of the Bibles, and I opened it up to her, and I said to her, read that. And he said, tears just began to stream down her face. She grabbed that Bible, she hugged that Bible, she started dancing around, just praising the Lord. He said, does missions matter? He said, it mattered to us. It mattered to that village. You know, missions is not simply just starting churches. It's not simply just mailing checks or a program or a ministry of the church. I believe that it involves all of those things. But rather, it's the very purpose for the church. It's the very purpose for the church. And if missions is the purpose for the church and you and I as disciples of Christ are the church, then it stands to reason that missions is the very purpose for our existence. But are we involved in it? What about our neighbors? What about those we bump shoulders with each and every day? My wife asked me, we had a neighbor that moved in a few years ago. My wife asked me, she says, Jim, she said, did you meet the neighbor? I said, why, Denise? She says, I'm just wondering, have you had a chance to talk to the neighbor? I said, you know I have. She says, I'm just asking you a question. I said, no, Denise, you don't ask a question unless there's a reason behind the question. So I says, what do you know about the meeting? She says, well, just tell me, how did it go? I said, well, I had just driven in from Pennsylvania. I just pulled my car in. I was getting out. I was tired. And he called me down to the backyard. And I said, okay. He says, you're mowing 1 yard on my side of the line. And I said, yeah. She says, yeah, I know what you probably said. I said, well, all I said to him was, that's no problem. I'm not going to charge you for that. And she said, I said, he didn't think that was real funny. So I said, I pushed it one step further, and I said, well, but you can mow my whole backyard if you want. And she said, so where did that get us? I said, the next day he had the surveyors out there and had the line surveyed. Because I told him, I said, I don't know where my backyard goes. I don't know if it's straight down or if it's a little bit this way or that. I said, I have no idea. I just mow. My mower seems to know where to mow. And he had the surveyors out there and everything. And so she said, well, good one, Jim. That started us off on a good foot. I said, well, he's just mean. He's just mean. I said, I've never seen anything like it. So we had the grandkids over, and Aiden, we have joint custody of him, and we had Addie. And I said, Addie, I said, we're going to bake some banana bread, and you're going to take it over to the neighbor. She says, you mean that mean neighbor? I said, no. She says, Bobo, you take it to him. I said, no, I'm going to drive you over. You're going to take it in there. I said, you need to learn to minister to people. So anyway, I took it over to them. That was kind of a catastrophe. But, you know, we continued to love them regardless of the situation. That, my friends, that's all part of what missions matter, missions is. And so the question is, does missions matter? When I think of our zeal for proclaiming the gospel of Christ in our homes and in our communities, I sit back and I have to wonder, does missions really matter to us? Does it? When was the last time that we went over and talked to our neighbors about Christ? When was the last time that we talked to those that we bumped shoulders with in town about Christ? When was the last time we invited somebody to church? The question is, does it matter? Does it matter to us as much as it does to the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses who are out every weekend knocking on doors? In fact, you know, this week I went to my mail and there was a letter in the mail. It was handwritten, had a stamp on it, had an address on it. I said, somebody's writing to me. I opened it up. It was from the Jehovah's Witnesses. I thought, you know, at least they're trying to do something. I said, what about us? And that caught my attention, and I begin to ask myself, Jim, does missions matter to you? Remember the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And folks, that's what missions is all about. It's about taking the gospel everywhere. It's about taking the gospel with you. You know, there's the old adage that says, you may be the Bible that somebody ever reads. What are they reading off of us? In closing this morning, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then what? It says, and then the end shall come. And Jesus said here that this gospel is about the kingdom of God. It's about the reign of God. It's about the Son of God. It's about the triumphal death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died on a cross for our sins. He purchased redemption for every man. He defeated sin, hell, and the grave. Listen, folks, the good news that we share is all about Him. It's all about what He's accomplished and what He's done for us and what He wants to continue to do through us. The question is, are we willing to allow Him? Robert Lumpel, one of our national pastors that I work with up in Burkina Faso, he said, Jim, he said, you know, God has really been working in our country. They live in a predominant Muslim area. And when God called him to work in that area, he said, I fought him. I had five churches going. These churches were growing. We were running 600 a church, and they were finally able to support my wife and I and our other pastors that we had trained that were working with us. And now God was telling me and asking me to go to a new area that never had a church, doesn't have a church. 90% of it is Muslim. And he said, I fought him. He says, but you know, you never win. And so he said, I finally went out to that area, and I introduced myself to the chief of that area. And the chief told me, he says, you know, in all the years that I have been chief in this area, oh, 50 years, he says, you're the first pastor, first Christian that has ever come to me and talked to me. And he said to Robert, he says, I respect you for that. And he says, if you respect me, I'll respect you, and I give you my blessing. They started their ministry there. They started with kids' clubs. Because, you know, we're dealing with the Muslims. If you can get the kids involved, you can use that as an avenue to get into the families. He said, within a month, we had over 200 children coming to our kids' clubs. 200 children. He said it opened up the door. It opened up the door for everything. He says we were able to go into their homes and talk to these children, visit with these children, even talk to them about the Lord. He says the mothers would sit around and listen, and they would come to me and say, if what you got to say is so important, why aren't you telling us? He said today we have a school there that runs almost 205 children now. Christian school. It says we get to preach Jesus to them all day long. Our church is running close to 200. He said most of them were Muslim families that we've had the opportunity of leading to the Lord. He said the chief in that area, we've been working with him. He says we're this close to leading him to the Lord. He said his wife got very sick. He took her to all the doctors. He has money. Took her everywhere. Nothing. They couldn't help her. They didn't know what was wrong. And finally she said to her husband, she says, go get the preacher. I want to talk to him. So Robert and his wife went over and talked to her. And she said, I want you to pray for me. They witnessed to her. And they prayed for her. And they left. 3 weeks later, there was a knock on her door. They said, the chief's wife wants to see you. And they went back over to see her, and she says, I didn't ask you to come and pray for me that God would heal me. She said, I called you because I want what you have. That chief's wife gave her heart to the Lord. You know, he said that she only survived about another 3 months or so. But he said in those 3 months, she has made a difference in that community. He says, we're still this close to winning that chief to the Lord. And he says, now I know why God was fighting me, telling me, this is where I want you. Because missions matters. You see, it mattered to God. When Adam fell, God went looking for him. When humanity was lost and without hope, he sent his son. It mattered to God. It matters to his disciples. If you're serious about why you're here, or if you're tired of playing church and doing church or just attending church, and you really want to live for something that really matters, if you're a disciple ready to make disciples, then missions matters. Then sharing your faith with others matters. And stepping out and telling others and inviting them to church matters. It matters even to the people in hell. Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. The rich man, he begged Abraham for something to cool him off in the torments of hell. He was suffering. He was in agony. And Abraham told him that there was nothing that he could do for him. He had already made his choice. And do you remember where his thinking immediately went to? Went to his family. went to his brothers. Please send somebody to tell my brothers. Please send somebody. You know, here's a man in hell with the heart of a missionary, but it was too late. And I wonder how many are crying out to us today, asking us to go to their families. And what are we doing about it? Missions matters. It matters to God. It matters to his disciples. It even matters to some of those in hell, but does it matter to us? In closing, got 5 minutes. I'm watching it. Studies show that 178,000 people die every day. Over 7,425 people every hour. 120 people every minute, almost 2 every second. Does it matter? You see, if missions matters, there's 5 ways to demonstrate your concern. 1, share your faith. Share the gospel. It's important. The neighbor that we had before this neighbor, Denise, led to the Lord, and they're in church and a big part of the church. Our neighbor that we have downstairs, this elderly lady that's living in our basement apartment, she needed a place to go, and so we took her in, and Denise started talking to her about the Lord. She's got her in church, and she loves the Lord, and she won't miss church for anything, and she's involved in all kinds of things. She's 76 years old, and she's involved in all kinds of things in the church. And she's getting her girls to go to church now. Does missions matter? Yeah. Share your faith. Secondly, share your life. Model your faith. Be a disciple. People are reading your life. They're reading how we react. They're reading about the things we are reading off of us, the things we're doing and we're saying. And you'd be surprised how many people are watching your life that you don't even know it. And when you don't know it. Thirdly, we need to get back to praying. You know, we ask ourselves, why is our country in the state it is today? Why are our schools being attacked? Why is this all happening in our schools? Because we've taken God out of them. And you know what's interesting is when one of these situations happened, like it happened in Texas, what does everybody do? They say, let's all pray for them. You mean pray for them now after the fact because you took prayer out of the school. You've taken God out of the school. We got to be asking ourselves today, what are we thinking? And why are we wondering why everything is falling apart around about us when we want to take God out of everything? There comes a point when he'll turn his face. And I believe that the only reason he hasn't done that point completely to the United States is because of the remnant few that continue to maintain that hold. But it almost seems like even that remnant is starting to fall apart. We need to get back to being a praying people. We need to get back to being a giving people. Not only giving of what God has blessed us with, but giving of our time to his cause, to his ministries, to his work. And lastly, we need to go. We need to go. Go where? I can't go over to Africa. I can't go to South America. I can't go over to India. No. But you can go to your neighbor. And you can hold the ropes of those that are going. And you can go through prayer. And if we get back to being a praying people, we'll begin to see God work, not only in our midst, but in our church. But we need to go. We need to start in our own Jerusalem with our own families and reach out from there. pray that you continue to pray for us. In the midst of everything else that we're doing, we're still in the process of trying to raise monthly support. Through COVID, we've lost $1,500 of support in the last 2 years because of COVID. Just because people aren't giving. Commitments that were made have fallen by the wayside. And we understand. And our faith is not in people, but it's in God. And we trust him. And he continues to bless, and he continues to move forth. Appreciate the opportunity to be here, Pastor, and to visit and see you all again. This is one of, you know, there's a lot of, I'm in a lot of churches, a lot of places, and there's few that I really love to go to. This is one of them. Pastor Bomar, he gets about a yearly call. Hey, Jim's ready for another time of golf? No. And it's because just enjoy the fellowship, really do. Enjoy what God is doing here this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the privilege we've had to be in your house. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would impress upon our hearts how important missions is. And that does matter. And Father, that you would encourage us to be more involved in your ministries. Lord, to be bold about sharing the gospel of Christ everywhere that we go. Lord, continue to bless this church. Continue to bring the increase. Continue to give good health to the pastor and his sweet wife. And Lord, that this ministry will continue to flourish and continue to grow. And we'll give you the praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. You made me think of something right near the end of your message. I started thinking about gas mileage. You know, with the price of gas going up so much, we're all starting to think about what kind of car we should be driving for the mileage. And I thought about what Jim was saying. All around the world, when we invest our money into the work of Christ, certain areas of the world get better mileage than other places. In our country, we don't get that good of mileage with our money as far as advancing the kingdom of Christ. I get really good mileage in the prison when I go into the prison because there's a lot of desperate people in there looking for answers. I think in the countries in Africa, you get really good mileage for your money. Your money goes a lot longer over there. And if your desire is to have your money do the most it can do for God's kingdom, I think it's a great place to invest it. If you want better gas mileage on your money, your missions money, you might consider the ministry that Jim has. He's got a table in the back. I'm sure you'll be back there. You got prayer cards and things like that to answer questions about it. But I know that he's doing some great things. There's churches that they can build for pennies on the dollar. What we can build them over here are being populated by people who are wanting to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's changing lives. These will be people that we will meet someday in heaven. And because of the contributions that we make, we'll have a lot to do with them being there. So it's just encouraging. So I thought about the mileage thing, and I think that that's a great way to get good mileage off of your money, that your tithes and offerings. So don't forget about Malawi. Yes, exactly. I'm sure you're experiencing the same thing, Joanne, in Malawi too. And okay, wonderful. And Jim's brother, Rick Arnold, Rick and Elizabeth, who have been here several times too, they are in Senegal, which is also in West Africa, and we support them. So we are a church, and I'm proud of this church, that we are free with our gifts to mission. So wanted to have Jim back and share what's going on lately. Sounds like you're transitioning a little bit more from the orphanage ministry to church planting, and that's what I'm hearing from you, and that's church planting is so important over there. So we've got that available. Let's close with our closing hymn. Nancy, would you come up and help me with that? 55, thank you.